You're listening to audio from Calvary Gravenhurst in Muskoka, Ontario. For more resources or to connect with someone in the church, please visit calvarygravenhurst.com.
It is a privilege to worship our Savior and our King this morning and to remember that the cross changes everything. Let's pray, and then we'll dive into our text this morning. Jesus, we come before you. And God, I admit, Good Friday brings a whole myriad of emotions for me. Lord, there's a sense of sadness, a huge sadness in my heart, considering how you were treated, my Savior and my King, as you were beaten and scourged, nailed to a cross, mocked. God, that hurts my heart, remembering what they did to you. Lord, my heart is also so, so grateful for the incredible work that you did on the cross, that you shed your blood. Your body was broken for me, for the world. So, Lord, we come just being honest about this whole mix of emotions that we feel, and yet overall, we just want to praise you and bring you honor and glory today. And so we pray that we would do that. We love you, Jesus, your name. Amen. You can turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. We're going to be in Luke 23 and Luke 24 for Easter. And so we're going to start with Luke 23, starting at verse 32. And then on Sunday, we get to look at Luke 24, which is going to be amazing. So I'd encourage you to turn in your Bible because I want them open as we go through the text. But as we read this morning, this is something that you know I like to do. I'm going to get you just to close your eyes. And get you to close your eyes as I read, and I want you to picture what's going on as we read. So let's do that now. Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on their right and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by watching, but the ruler scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine, and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, "Certainly this man was innocent." And all the crowds had assembled for this spectacle, and when they saw what had taken place, returned home beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. You can open your eyes. This morning I want us to start by considering three reasons that the gospel is magnificent. Three reasons from the text that we just read that the gospel is magnificent. Let's start with the first one. It's this: the beauty of the gospel. The gospel is beautiful, and that makes it magnificent. At the heart of the gospel is the incredible truth that God is love. Jesus doesn't come to earth without incredible love. Jesus doesn't endure beating and whipping from finite humans who he could snuff out with a thought without love. Jesus doesn't endure the intense mocking and pure blasphemy of those without love. Jesus doesn't get nailed to the cross without love. Jesus doesn't stay on the cross without love. Jesus doesn't take the sin of the world on himself without love. The cross is the greatest example of love in the history of humanity, and it's not even close. There is no one in history who has ever deserved less punishment. What does Jesus deserve as king? He deserves honor and praise and glory, not punishment. And yet there's no one who endured more punishment on the cross. Jesus on the cross endured the absolute pain of sin as he took the weight of sin of the world upon himself. What did he take on himself? What's sin? It's evil. Jesus took all of that on himself. All of us in our lives have been touched by evil, and it hurts. Some of you have been on the wrong end of evil. Some of you are experiencing suffering in the world right now just because this world is messed up and sinful and evil. God's good design twisted. We've all been on the wrong end of evil. In just a glimpse, we know how much it hurts. And yet Jesus took all of that sin, all of that evil upon himself on the cross. There is no greater love. And here in this verse, we get a glimpse into the heart of Jesus in that incredible love that compelled him to go to the cross. To the people that wrongly accused him, to the people that hated him, to the people that willingly took his blood on their hands as the Romans killed him, what does he say? He says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He shows mercy, compassion, grace, and love when they deserve none of it. And at the cross, he did the same for them that he's also done for you and for me. That's the beauty of the gospel. The gospel is also magnificent because of the simplicity of the gospel. If you go a little bit farther down in our text, look at what it says, starting at verse 39. And I love the gospel because it's so rich and so deep, and yet it's so simple. And this criminal here was able to so easily articulate the good news of the gospel and the good news of the cross. Look at it there in the yellow. The criminal says this, "And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds." We are sinners. We deserve separation from God and death because of the evil that's inside of us and the evil that comes out of us. But then look what he says here. "But this man has done nothing wrong." Jesus is perfect. He did absolutely nothing wrong as God's perfect son. And yet, as the criminal, it clicks in his mind. He says, "I know this person's done nothing wrong. And yet he's hanging here beside me. Why is that?" It's not because he's done something wrong. What's the purpose? Is that he's dying in my place to take the debt that I could never pay, that we could never pay. So look what that compels him then to say. He says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." If we're honest about our sin, we're honest about what we deserve, and then we're honest about who Jesus is. Well, who's he called Jesus? King. It says, "In your kingdom." He's saying, "I recognize you as God. You're a perfect king." If we're honest about our sin, honest about what we deserve, honest about who Jesus is as the perfect Son of God and the King of everything, then look what Jesus says to the criminal. And he said to him, "Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus invites us into his kingdom, into his family. And we become followers of God, getting to be with God and live with him in paradise for all of eternity. The gospel is so simple and yet so profound, so life-changing. And if you have never accepted Jesus' invitation, if you've never done this with Jesus, what the criminal did with Jesus on the cross, I want to encourage you right now, today. Talk to a Christian you know and do it with them. Or go home and follow this pattern that the criminal outlined. Understanding what you deserve, being honest about your sin, what you deserve, honest about who Jesus is and what he did for you on the cross. Jesus invites you to be his. This will change your life forever. The gospel is magnificent. The gospel is also magnificent because of the goal of the gospel. Look at Luke 23, 44 to 45. It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. There was this giant curtain that hung in the temple to block the entrance to the most holy place, or they can also call it the Holy of Holies. This was the place that signified where God would dwell with his people. And as Jesus died on the cross, what happened? God tore that curtain. God was showing us through the cross, that showed us that we now have access to God, not through sacrifices, but through Jesus, who was the ultimate sacrifice. And so the good news of the cross is not just that our sin is covered with Jesus' perfect blood. It's not just that we are forgiven. It's not just that we receive mercy and grace. These are all amazing things and we should praise God for them. But they're only good news because of the goal of the cross. The good news of the cross is that we can be with God. And the cross, as we remember today, Jesus is out here screaming that God loves you and he wants to be with you. Jesus died on the cross. God tore the curtain to be with you. This is the goal of the gospel. It's magnificent, and the cross changes everything. The gospel isn't just good news for eternity. The cross isn't just good news for the future. It's good news right now. And if we live in that, the power of what Jesus did and the truth of what Jesus did on the cross, that's going to change our lives starting now, not just in eternity. It starts by knowing it in our heads, but it can't stay there. We also need to know it in our hearts. And how does that transfer happen? You need to trust God. And you need to live in obedience and in the truth of what he's telling you. You live in the hope of what he's holding out to you. And when you do that, even though it's scary and even though it's hard, you experience the power of the Holy Spirit. And you experience that what he's telling you is good. You'll find it to be true. And then the next time, you're going to be more likely to go and do it again and again and again and again. But it's in God's power, not yours. And that's the best news. The best news is that the answer, as we're looking for this transfer, is to not simply just try harder. It's not that you just simply need to do better. The good news of the gospel is that Jesus said, Christian, I did the work for you. I'm already victorious over the things that you are fighting, and I, in my spirit, will be with you as you endure the pain of living in a sinful world. And one day I'm going to take you out of that world, and you're going to be with me in paradise. So don't be discouraged. Don't give up hope. And this is really good news, isn't it? Because our willpower doesn't extend very far, does it, on our own? I think we're all good and disciplined at a couple of things in our lives. But we can't apply that level of just sheer might and force and will to everything in our lives. It doesn't happen. And yet there's so many things where we try to do this, and then what happens? We fail. Because we just can't do it all. And then what's even worse is we start to apply this to our faith. You cannot just simply try harder, do better, when it comes to following God. You need God. You need his power. You need his wisdom. You need the church around you. You can't do it on your own. Without Jesus, without the cross, it's impossible. And I think there's no better example of our inability to simply change through willpower than the dentist. You all know what I'm talking about. I was just there on Tuesday. When you prep to go to the dentist, what do? You blush and you floss really, 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 really well, don't you? And what's your hope? That one really good brushing and flossing, that's going to erase 9 months of semi-neglect of your teeth. And you will hope that the dentist does not notice because you've brushed and flossed once really, really good. How does that go? Not well, does it? I try to do a decent job of taking care of my teeth, but I got a permanent retainer up in the front, the front section of my teeth, and that thing is just so hard to floss. And so every time I go to the dentist, you open your mouth and they shine that light in. You see the spiritual example already. And what can they clearly see? They can see that you haven't flossed. But then, because dentists are so, so kind, what do? They ask anyways, have you been flossing your retainer? And then, yeah, I guess. And in that moment, you got a choice to make, don't you? You're going to lie and they're going to know exactly what you're doing, or you tell the truth. So what happened next? I walk out of that dentist's office with a strong belief that I'm going to start flossing my retainer. But then by bedtime, you know what happens next. The guilt, that motivation that I felt so strong as you're sitting there like, it's gone. And it doesn't happen nearly as often as it needs to. And I'll probably be sitting in the chair in 9 months going through the same thing. The answer is simply just not to try harder. The answer is to let God and the gospel change us. So I want to give you a few examples of this. In Romans chapter 8, this is an amazing chapter of scripture. And it tells us so many amazing truths about what God tells us is true, what's available for Christians to live in light of the cross. That if we trust in the work of Jesus on the cross, in the power of the Spirit in our lives, that God is holding these things out to us. And as we look at each one, I want you to think about why these are true. And it's because God is magnificent and the cross changes everything. Romans 8:1 says this, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I want you to take a moment. And I want you to think about the thing that you hate the most about yourself. Or the thing that in your mind, God is the most disappointed in you for. Or the thing that you feel the most ashamed about that nobody else knows. Or very few people know. The thing that always tugs on your heart when you walk into church or when we take communion. I want you to take that thing and in your head, talk to Jesus right now. We're going to do this in a moment and say, Jesus, thank you that because of the cross, I am no longer condemned for blank. I'm going to give you a few seconds to do that now. Christians, the cross changes everything. Romans 8:2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ from the law of sin and death. What's the good news in this verse? No more striving to please God. You're asking an impossible task of yourself if that's what you're trying to do. So I'm begging you, please stop. It's not healthy and it's not what God is asking. Jesus died so that you could be free from guilt and from shame. I want you to imagine how life-changing that is. Because for some of you, that's just what you're living in. The cross changes everything. From verse 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us. Jesus died so that we could have hope in suffering. Some of you are suffering right now. Some of you have loved ones who are suffering right now. Jesus' death on the cross tells us that the suffering will not last forever if they know him. And that should bring us tremendous hope. That should bring you in your suffering tremendous hope. The cross changes everything. Verse 26, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Because of the cross, as Christians, the Holy Spirit lives in us. So God himself helps. God himself helps us in our inadequacy, in our imperfection, in the places that we fall short. And when we're really, really struggling and we can't even find the words to pray, what happens? The Spirit prays for us. That's magnificent. What else does this verse tell you? It tells you that you don't need to be perfect. No matter what your boss says, no matter what your friend says, no matter what your spouse says. And even more than this, God's telling us that in our weakness, in our imperfection, that you are not alone. God doesn't shy away from weakness. What does he do? He leans in. The cross changed everything. The greatest example of that was the cross. Look at verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. What's that? It's the cross. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Christian, God is not out to get you. He's not just sitting up there waiting for you to screw up and then stomp on you. He loves you so much that he gave his own son for us, and he wants to graciously bring goodness and joy into your life, the epitome of which is what? Knowing God. How do we know God? Through the cross. The cross changes everything. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised? Can't wait to celebrate that on Sunday. Who is at the right hand of God, who is interceding for us. So many of you condemn yourselves. You spend your days beating yourself up that you are not perfect. Not the perfect mom, not the perfect dad, not the perfect grandparent, not the perfect son or daughter, not the perfect Christian. If Jesus, the rightful judge, died for you and then intercedes for you, what does that tell you? That tells you that you need to stop trying to be perfect on your own. Jesus knows you aren't perfect, and Jesus doesn't expect you to be perfect. In fact, he died for you, loving you just as you are, not because you're perfect, but because he's perfect. And whenever you aren't perfect, which is no surprise to God, he steps in to bear your imperfection, and he reminds the judge that you are his and covered in his perfect blood because of the cross, so you can live in freedom, not condemnation. The cross changes everything. We close with this, Romans 8:38. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus' death on the cross was the ultimate expression of love. And when we accept his love, that means nothing. Christian, hear me. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. The cross was enough to cover all of our sin. Jesus died so you could be with God and experience a love that your soul is longing for, and a love that we all desperately, desperately need each day. And so we're going to come and we're going to worship God and we're going to prepare our hearts for communion. And so I'm going to pray and then we're going to do that together. Jesus, we come and say thank you for the cross. Thank you, Lord, that the cross changes everything. Thank you that as we consider the cross, your death, you dying in our place, taking the punishment that we deserve, that underpins, holds sure our salvation as we consider the glorious truth of being able to spend now and eternity with you. Lord, we say thank you for what you did for us on the cross. For those who don't know Christ yet today, I pray that they would strongly consider this today. Because the cross changes everything. And for the Christian who's living, not just looking to the future, but right now, would we remember that through your death, the blood that you shed as you died in our place, that the cross changes everything, yes, for the future, but also for right now, what you want us to live in, how you want us to grow. Would you keep our eyes fixed on who you are and what you have done for us? It's magnificent. It's glorious. It's a love that we could never understand. It's a love that we can never repay, but we, in praise, in honor, in glory, we want to give you everything. Lord, we love you in your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon audio. For more resources or to connect with us, visit calvarygravenhurst.com.